Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Content and Conversation. Today, Ross and I are going to talk about our recent change from a more manual link building to passive link strategy. And so what that really means is identifying topics that by the nature of our clients ranking for the keywords with high link intent, we're driving passive organic links over time, month over month, versus our team going out and manually link building and doing outreach. And that's a pretty expensive process. So Ross, I want to first start. Why are we making this pretty strategic, massive change?
Yeah, so it's kind of like a long story, but we started doing link building manually, kind of the infancy of Siege.
And like 10 years ago.
10 years, yeah. And didn't associate search volume to our content. Somewhere in the middle, we started associating more search volume to our content, stopped doing off-topic link bait. And even as recent as like 2 to 3 years ago, started doing more passive link acquisition sources. We realized if we do that, they generate natural links over time, and kind of increasingly leaning more to true brand awareness, top funnel, all that good stuff. And that leads us to today. And we kind of like took that initial analysis and realized, oh, passive link acquisition has so much value, and took it another step and started asking ourselves, we are manually, a lot of the time, just for outside world, we almost always associate a topic with search volume, but a lot of the time we also promote it. We realize in looking at that work, it effectively takes us twice as long to make a similar post because we spend a lot of time on outreach, and also we create visual assets that make it more linkable. So it does make the post better. I think the argument that it's twice as good is probably not true. These posts are very good, but that difference means we have actually cut in half the amount of content we could create as compared to spending that time on twice as much content, all tied to search volume instead, still high quality, and still using the passive link approach. We generate way more links on a long timeline, build a lot more brand value, not just the link value, and are building more of the links that Google wants to reward.
Yeah, I mean, we looked at the math and we saw that in the short term, it did look like the ROI of manual link building was a little bit higher than the passive link strategy because it takes time to play out. But once you get to later months and you see the exponential growth of that link engine building like a link magnet in that passive link topic, and maybe we should set the stage of like what a good example of that is. So I think the clearest example is a statistics post, because the link intent, the search intent of someone's searching statistics is to find a stat to cite in their article and link back to the original source. And so this is just something that calculators, cost pages, any other.
What is topics, trends, pieces?
Yeah, definitions. Like people are writing about a topic and they want to cite what this is, they'll just cite back to that post as long as you're ranking for it. So that is a key point, right? Getting someone to rank for that term, as long as they have authority already built, or how do you think about in the sense of a new domain, a new company?
Yeah, so this is something we've been laddering to over time as well. If anyone's been watching our videos, we do a keyword opposition and benefit analysis up front. So this is a big part of a new website or an earlier authority website, even if it's not brand new, is that we specifically prioritize content that's low difficulty. So that's a critical part of this component that makes this achievable, is if you get good internal linking and you really do start with low difficulty terms, you start acquiring those links over time, and you ladder up to other things. And to your point, like if there's still link building that needs to be happening with this website, our bet though is the companies that are going to win long-term are the ones that they naturally have some acquisition happening because they have a good product. We then become gasoline on their fire as compared to coming with that older school approach of doing the manual link building.
So Ross, speaking of the fire on the gasoline, Okay. Ross, building on the analogy of putting gasoline on a fire, you had another great analogy you tweeted out a few days ago about hammer versus the power tool in terms of this strategy. Can you expound on that?
Yeah. So you have a good point about the timeline differences. I think it's worth noting, it depends on the website. It's probably a month or two difference in that timeline. And I think manual link building still works. We're not saying manual link building still works. It's the difference to us after looking at this analysis is effectively a hammer, using a hammer to get results as compared to going and building the efficient power tool to drive your results. So it's like link building is manually is like using that hammer to like try to get the rankings, but you could instead build a better site design or blog design. You could build more high quality content that is going to make that life way easier on you long term. Yes, maybe short term you can get the hammer in. Eventually, you're eventually going to get beat by someone who has the power tool.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. So, but you kind of, I think you misspoke slightly there. You said it's not like manual link building doesn't matter.
Doesn't work,
but it does work.
It does work, yes.
And so links are still very much important and a component of our work, but in what way is it changing?
It's just more what's most scalable and what we believe is most valuable. So this will be more scalable for most of the national websites that are out there. This is not probably absolutely universally true, but in our analysis of most of them, the kind of clients we work with at a national level, think it is. And also another benefit of this approach that we've noticed, especially stuff tied to search volume, the links you get from passive link intent are higher authority on average. Yeah. We've seen around 5 domain rating DA points as compared to pitching it. It's not true news. Anything search volume driven is not news. Almost everything that's tied to a business anyways. So that's just yet another benefit that if we generate more of those links, we don't stop caring. I think you have to care. We're still going to be emphasizing passive link intent topics really early.
Right.
Just like changing the model to a link engine as compared to, once again, hitting the nails with a hammer.
Right. And we can't overstate the importance of getting these topics in earlier in the engagement, because it takes a little bit of time to get those results to start to come in month over month and really grow. And if you look at a referring domain chart on some of these pieces, you can actually see the inflection points of when they make a move up in the SERP, and the number of links coming in just increases exponentially.
Yeah, it's an exciting domino effect. If you've got like something positive brewing, and then you align the topics in the right order, and you have good internal linking, I think that's a critical component of this,
right,
that external linking's like made up for in some instances. If you have your blog or content section linked in the nav, every post has related linking that's strong, that's just so critical for this to work. But that shouldn't be that big of a headache. It's kind of a basic thing. Not every basic thing is achievable, unfortunately, in some big companies. But
right. Well, it's kind of interesting too, is that we're leaning more heavily into those search-driven posts without the need of manual links. We call those just SEO posts, right? But on the other end of the spectrum, there's interactive content. Is that something you see as being like, that's a passive link generating piece usually, right?
Yeah. And that's something that we should definitely add the disclaimer for like our internal clients. We're not saying don't only spend less time on content. If anything, use that effort appropriately to spend more time on content where it makes sense. And interactives are a great part of that. And very often those will be huge passive link generators, especially in finance where passive links are hard to come by. Those calculators, which are more common in those industries, are by far the biggest link earners, and they make a ton of sense to do.
Ross, you mentioned that in our analysis, the domain rating of the passive link strategy actually tends to skew higher. Can you clarify what that means in terms of how that benefits the client?
Yeah, so good question. I probably didn't explain that very well. So an example in our analysis of the kind of links that came into our content, when we manually promoted it, the average authority of those links were, say, 30 to 35 in one industry. And then once a lot of these started ranking over time, we looked at that difference and actually saw the passive or organic links that came in were actually on average 5 points higher. This is relatively common across industries, which sort of shows for passive link, for top funnel type search volume stuff, which isn't always national news that you can promote. It's mostly mid-tier market that's going to link to that. You do get that higher tier who's kind of just passively searching for things to support their articles.
Right.
And that's kind of how that happens naturally. And you might maybe net some less links for some, but the quality of those links are higher quality because they're looking for good stuff to source.
Yeah, it makes sense. Because if you think about the link, the search intent of those keywords, someone looking to cite it in their article, they have a publication, they may be a journalist. So I could see why the domain rating would skew a little bit higher.
Yeah, and you can't pitch those people. They're not just going to randomly link to your article about rose etiquette.
Right.
But when they have that article on their national magazine in their social calendar in February, they're going to find something to source, right? Maybe you could pitch it at the perfect time where they're thinking about that article, but that's going to be a very hard workflow. You'd rather rank.
Well, now to call out the passive elephant in the room, what's the downside of doing this change? Are there any clients or any scenarios where this wouldn't work as well?
Yeah, I mean, we're just to qualify for everybody, we work with medium to large size national websites on average. Local, your mileage may vary. We can't speak to that. That's not our specialty. But otherwise, I think brand new websites is going to be a little bit tougher. It's still true what we said previously that you should wait till Series A. And a part of that conversation is that it's product market fit. And maybe you're not Series A, but it's product market fit for you, because where this matters for this approach is product market fit also means your product is naturally getting mentioned and talked about, which you're getting a authority accumulation over time that will actually help kind of nudge this over the edge to be powerful. But if you don't have that at Series A and you're not getting that product market fit, you potentially lose that. You won't have enough threshold or naturally occurring links to help you push towards these other ones that occur. There's also verticals where links happen less often. I do think generally focusing on quality is still going to be good. Everyone's going to be tough there. It's going to be tough to do. And you focus on the overall site experience and have that threshold from the other areas, I think it takes over. There are some areas where this is going to be a little bit harder to get links to product pages. But if you have strong internal linking, I think a lot of this will help take care of itself through that. The overall net number of links you have, the brand awareness you have, will be enough to power these. And the internal linking is so, so important in this overall kind of framework.
So to recap, what makes this strategy successful, I think we should kind of go through like the process of our KOB for prioritization, right? Keyword research and understanding where we can rank this the quickest to drive the most value. And then going and doing those passive link topics up front, prioritizing those in our project plan. And then just really executing on quality at the same time, like compromising quality and quantity, or what would you say is in terms of SEO driven posts, but also interactives?
A no compromise on quality. It's really, I think one of our, which might be unclear from the outside world, that where we had spent time on manual outreach can instead go to things like content updates.
Right.
You could spend more time on some assets. You can create more content that is still very high quality. But for the outside world, we would very often create, say, an infographic to promote a post. This is a nice quality thing that we add to a post. But the argument is not that it 2x's the quality of that original post in the eyes of users, such that they really needed that. So that's where our time is better spent, whether it's that or improving our UX design of the entire thing, all of that kind of adds up.
Yeah, and design is still a huge component and will be for the foreseeable future because it adds to the user experience. And anecdotally in search, I find that post images can get pulled into the image pack, and that's just another piece of real estate to own. And it can drive passive links as people grab those post images and use them on the site, on their site, and link back to you.
Great. Yeah.
Anything else about the passive link versus manual link building strategy?
Yeah. I mean, you rounded out, but just to like focusing on quality, like if there were five things, I think you had it. It's like do the KOB up front, super critical, low difficulty topics, do passive link intent topics up front, super critical, high quality content above all. That's number one for right. Sure. A good internal linking is makes up for that external need. So if that's broken, you're not going to be having a good time. And then finally, having the brand with product market fit. I think that will mean it's also acquiring links naturally and will eventually get you to a threshold where those assets you're creating for top funnel value will be ranking without the need to naturally or without the need to externally link build to them.
Yeah, and those are the types of charts that Google likes to reward, just seeing this organic growth. And if you're already experiencing that, then I would wager a bet that Google is going to be more likely to surface your results as authoritative in this space.
Exactly. This all connects, and it's one of those things where you always, this gets to an approach, which we were 90% there as an agency, but hopefully get to 100, where literally every ounce of your being and time is focused on making your website better in some way, as compared to let's go get a guest post on an external website. And the good news about top funnel content marketing is the model shows, I think very clearly, you do attract links in most verticals, simply doing that correctly and having product market fit.
I don't think anything else needs to be said. I think
we got rid of that elephant and
squashed him. Yeah. Now the elephant is actively running away and we're back.
If you like this episode of Content and Conversation, subscribe for more great content coming soon. Depending on your platform of choice, we'd appreciate any and all likes, loves, and reviews. Thank you for listening.